This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees at 7:35. Last week, Governor Tomlin presented numbers to congressional leaders in Washington showing that the state's efforts to reduce its prison population are indeed working. He attributed those declines to provisions of his Justice Reinvestment Act passed by the legislature during the 2013 session. But this week, lawmakers were updated on the implementation of another bill also meant to assist in decreasing the prison population while saving the state money. Ashton Mara has more.
Over the past 2 years, lawmakers have implemented two pieces of legislation intended to drastically decrease the population in state prisons in the face of a growing overcrowding problem. In 2013, the legislature passed Senate Bill 371, the Justice Reinvestment Act. Among a long list of provisions, the bill allowed the Division of Corrections to develop and implement a cognitive behavioral restructuring program for DOC inmates being housed at regional jails due to overcrowding. The key to that bill, however, is offering all other programs in the regional jail system was optional, not mandatory. That is, until 2014. Senate Bill 457, which was passed in March, required those additional programs be made available. The bill requires the DOC to provide things like substance abuse treatment or a high school equivalency program at regional jails, just like they do within their own facilities. DOC inmates take many of these classes while they're incarcerated to help them become parole eligible. But inmates who are housed at regional jails because of a lack of beds can't take those classes and are staying locked up longer, costing the state more money.
The positions for Senate Bill 457, the funding is in next year's fiscal budget. So we're preparing, but we won't actually be able to hire and have those positions on board until after July 8th when the system comes back up.
The DOC was allotted funding to hire 10 new counselors to oversee courses at regional jails. The funding for those positions becomes available July 1st when the new fiscal year begins. So while the division hasn't filled the positions yet, they have been working to secure space and finalize schedules for the courses. Cognitive programs will begin July 1st, but the additional programs under 457 aren't expected to begin until October 1st. In the meantime, inmates are being assessed using what's called a Level of Service Case Management Instrument, or LSCMI. The test determines which courses a particular inmate needs to be rehabilitated. It helps the inmate prepare for parole, but also helps the division.
Really, what this will do is where before the inmate would, the majority of time, request to go into every class coming and going because they wanted to look good when they got in front of the parole board. And it shows that, you know, it will indicate what an individual needs. It will help us get inmates into the classes they need to, cut down on waiting lists.
Rubenstein says it will also allow the division to see which courses need more teachers so they can reach more inmates. As for the cost, last interim session, Regional Jail Authority Director Joe DeLong reported to the committee for a $600,000 to $700,000 investment, putting DOC courses in the regional jails. The state could save upwards of $7 to $8 million from shortened prison sentences. Rubenstein reports the division won't be able to truly measure those cost savings for some time, but says he stands by those projections and believes the state is headed in the right direction. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Those attending an event at the Culture Center in Charleston yesterday learned more about how the Export-Import Bank might help them succeed. As Liz McCormick reports, Senator Joe Manchin and Export-Import Bank Chairman Fred Hochberg hosted the forum titled Small Business, Global Access, Your Competitive Edge.
The Export-Import Bank of the United States, also known as the Ex-Im Bank, identifies as an independent, self-sustaining federal agency with the mission of financing U.S. exports to create and maintain jobs in the United States. It assumes the credit and country risks a private sector is unable or unwilling to accept, and does this work at no cost of the American taxpayer.
We support U.S. companies, mostly small businesses, so they can tap into overseas market. 95% of the world's consumers live outside the U.S., and I want to make sure that West Virginia companies are tapping into those rich markets.
Senator Joe Manchin says he's excited to have Chairman Hochberg in Charleston to discuss the benefits the Ex-Im Bank would bring to small businesses in West Virginia.
I never thought that we as West Virginians had access or knew enough to access the Import-Export Bank. And all the things they can do and help us open up a whole global market was something I was excited about. So I asked Fred, I said, Fred, would you come to West Virginia? He said, I'd be happy to. So he's here today because of the enthusiasm that we have to try to help West Virginians create more business to create more jobs. And that's really what it's about.
The Ex-Im Bank assists small businesses in four ways: by providing payment coverage for both commercial and political risks, by extending credit to buyers, which allows exporters to sell on competitive open account terms instead of acquiring cash in advance, credit cards, etc., by guaranteeing an exporter's inventory be turned into eligible collateral for the lender, and through term financing, where foreign buyers may obtain financing at competitive rates and extended repayment terms.
We've got companies here in the full range in the service industry, manufacturing company that makes scales, that weighs a Kenawa scale company that weighs heavy equipment, Level Tech, equipment manufacturers, energy, the full range of products, products and services. What we need to do is, West Virginia has a lot of talent, a lot of great businesses. We need to make sure that West Virginia companies are hitting global markets and building in sales and then supporting more jobs here at home.
Manchin noted that many West Virginians with small businesses want to stay in the state, but they worry they can't make a living here. Manchin thinks that if you have an idea and the work ethic, you should be able to live anywhere and support yourself. And by seeking the aid of the Export-Import Bank, you can do this.
What we do at the Export-Import Bank, we're about supporting businesses, small businesses, with export sales so they're better jobs here at home. And this is all about jobs. And the senator said more people can make a living, a good living here, if we're tapping into worldwide markets.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Liz McCormick in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:42. Some fog this morning, mostly sunny today, but there is a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Temperatures in the 80s to around 90 degrees. Partly cloudy overnight, still a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Overnight lows in the 60s. Partly cloudy on Wednesday, and still that chance of rain and thunderstorms are in the forecast. Temperatures remaining in the 80s to low 90s. The outlook for Thursday, mostly cloudy with rain and thunderstorms. Heavy rain is possible on Thursday. Temperatures in the 80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Visit wvdrs.org for employer services.
Acid mine drainage can turn rivers a yellowish or orange color. It's outflow from mining activity. But the material itself can be used as art. Jared Klein has more.
If you see a body of water with an orange hue, it's likely the result of acid mine drainage. This pollutant is left behind from abandoned mine shafts coming in contact with the water, and it can harm aquatic life. Jamie Biggs, an art professor at Concord University, uses the unique substance while glazing pottery. He was first approached about the opportunity while showcasing his work at Tamarack.
The discussion around ceramics usually seems to come back to materials. One of the things people want to know about is where does your clay come from? You know, where did that glaze come from? How do you make this stuff? And it comes back to materials over and over and over again. So as people move through in waves, you know, I will find myself talking about materials and you know, and how that plays a part in it.
A woman with the company offered him a free 10-pound sample, and it was a success. The pottery that came out of the kiln showed the same results as other glazes.
So the idea of using this iron that is, you know, can produce the same results that's actually being generated as a byproduct of a stream recovering is a nice idea, and it's a nice use for the material that would otherwise be treated as waste.
On this day, Biggs has been standing outside monitoring a wood firing of clay. He uses a traditional Japanese method that lasts 44 hours. Biggs explains how the fire works.
As it burns, it produces ash, and the ash lands on the pots, and through the high temperatures and the extended time period, the ash melts and forms the glass on the outside of the pots, as well as melting the glazes on the inside.
Concord student Remington Radford has taken the current shift and loves the way the pottery looks once it's finished.
Just like the turnout, the ash that falls on it, like there's so much differentiation. You're not going to get one piece that's the same. Like it's all going to be like slightly different, if not completely.
Biggs grew up in Somersville and can remember when he was a child the few remaining strip mines before they were shut down. He doesn't consider himself an environmentalist, but says the cleanup is necessary.
You know, these landscapes are the way that they are. We're going to have to deal with this one way or another. So the cleanup, the passive treatment systems are a low-cost way of streams recovering. And I think for 15 years now, that's not a debatable thing. These systems work, and they're very effective. The next step is just maybe finding a purpose for these metals that are recovered.
Biggs, along with fellow Concord professor Norma Accord, published their recipes for making glaze out of acid mine drainage in a magazine and held a presentation early this month. Biggs says the communication that is inspired by sharing the ingredients is what's most important.
The biggest thing about the exhibition is seeing these professional working artists with giving their recipes away. If potters have access to those recipes, it's a little easier to incorporate this new material.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jared Klein in Athens.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.